Hello and welcome to this week's episode of now rebranded ESL podcast for entrepreneurs sharing lessons. And with us today is Robert Klickenbeard. He's an entrepreneur, fellow EO member as well. He is a speaker, he is a fellow podcaster, four times Ironman, and he's co-founded the Radix Group. And he had also co-founded one of the largest landscape companies in the southwest of the US, and that also had a successful exit. Of course, he's going to have a lot of lessons to share. So with that, welcome, Robert.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you having me on the show, Rachid.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. So I know there's many things here we can unpack. There's many different directions we can draw from your experience and from your lessons. But for the purpose of today's episode, I would like to have you talk to us a little bit about the building blocks for successful scaling. And I know we can't cover all the pillars, but maybe we can zero in on one of the pillars, like related to people.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, happy to talk about that. So, you know, obviously there's four different pillars within scaling up, but, you know, people is probably one of the most important things, because, you know, unless you have the right people in place and doing the right things, then it's unlikely you're going to actually achieve any of your goals, strategic goals, or your quarterly rocks. So that's typically what I do, is I'll go into a company initially and just do an assessment of who they have in place at that, you know, senior middle management level, and see what see some of the things we need to do there.
Mm-hmm. And what are some ways you assess that, Robert? Because obviously, like, you know, I have been in numerous roundtables and people issue, people problems is always guaranteed to pop up. So what are some ways to start in assessing, both assessing how to find the right people and how to put them in the right places, and how to get the to give them the best tools and to get the best setup, and how to get the most out of them? Hiring, training, any of those?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many I could go into, but I'll pick maybe two or three initially. Is, you know, first of all, I'll do a personality assessment on them. I'll use a tool called Intermetrics or Advanced Insights. And it just looks at the three dimensions of somebody, you know, has DISC, it has the values, it has the attributes. So I'll look at that and see where their strengths and blind spots are. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the next thing, I'll go through an exercise where effectively I'm getting their immediate supervisor or the owner CEO to, you know, measure up, first of all, their performance on a day-to-day basis. So how's their productivity? Mm-hmm. How did they come into work? And then secondly, I'll look at their core values. How are they representing the company? How are they living those core values every single day? Those two points intersect. You know, usually they end up in, you know, one of four boxes. And, you know, the goal is to try and have 80%, 80+% of people within your company who are in those, that A player box. You know, if there's people that end up in the B box, then, you know, are those people, what do we need to do to motivate, to train them, to develop them up into the A box? And then the people that are sitting down in the C or D boxes, then, you know, you've got some tough decisions and how you handle those employees. Mm-hmm. So those are two immediate exercises. And then the third one I'll do is I'll say, well, with all the positions you have, let's have a look at your org chart. And I'll do an exercise, you know, almost like function accountability. So I'll look at what roles are they responsible for, and I'll look for overlap, or I'll look for gaps. And once I identify that part, the next step is then to, what are some of the 3 to 5 KPIs or things that they're responsible for? Mm-hmm. And it's quickly, you know, it really uncovers some, you know, glaring issues within the company. A lot of the time there's overlap, or maybe there's a missing piece. So those are the first exercises I go through when I start to assess a company.
Mm-hmm. When we're talking scaling up, I know with most of these systems, of course, for any system to be successful, you definitely need some key people in place. How is the approach when it comes to, like, scaling up as that approach? Who are the key people that you must have there to balance between the strategic and the execution and the different ways, the different drivers?
I mean, a lot of that depends on the size of the company, but, you know, you've got to have somebody who's in charge of, you know, sales, somebody who's in charge of the financial part, maybe your marketing. PR might be a separate person in the company. You might have somebody in charge of operations. So really just depending on the size of the company, you've really got to figure out who owns the main functions within a company. And as I say, usually that's around sales, operations, the financial part. And then, you know, the list can go on depending on the size of the company.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you look back, Robert, at building like the landscaping company and scaling it to such a massive scale and then eventually having a successful exit, what are some lessons that stand out? That's part one. And part two is, who were the key people that you think were instrumental or indispensable for you along that journey?
I'll take the second part first. So, you know, the people that were indispensable were, with a lot of companies, usually that sort of rub between operations and sales. So you really got to make sure they're constantly, you know, communicating with each other, because otherwise it could be that huge divide and it could really put your company in trouble. So you got to make sure those people are talking. But, you know, again, financial parts, making sure that we're looking ahead, where the company's going, what's our cash flow look like. And then just having somebody around the people part, which is either HR, office manager type level, to making sure that you're bringing in the right people. And, you know, I think when I talk to a lot of companies, a lot of the companies got pretty sizable workforce. I just don't feel as though many companies put enough emphasis on the people part. 80-90% of companies I talk to, their biggest challenge is, oh, we don't have the right people, we don't have enough people. And then I ask them around, you know, do they have a people strategy, some differentiator in trying to attract employees in, have maybe like an onboarding type system, and the majority of them don't. So I'm saying, well, you're a people company, even though you do landscaping, pest control, whatever that trade is, but you don't put enough emphasis or strategy around the people part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and absolutely. And you mentioned ops and sales have to communicate. What are some ways that they can do that better, so that obviously they're kind of pulling in the same direction, and that maybe so that there is a smoother transition as you onboard clients and so on and so forth, and so that you know, the service level agreements and all of that and expectations are met. What are some ways to best practices to do that?
Yeah, see, they need to be communicating right up front. Then it's always too late for salespeople to be bringing in contracts, especially large contracts. I mean, we were sometimes bringing in, you know, $500,000 to $1 million contracts working with large HOAs. So for sales team to bring in a large new contract without any type of dialogue to operations, I think was a huge mistake. So we quickly learned from our mistakes, and we said, well, if we're bidding on these contracts, let's discuss tactics around what's a good strategy, because, again, we're all in the game to try and grow the business. And if you have those barriers, you know, with sales wanting to go in a competitive price and operations say, no, you can't cut this, then it's just, we're not going to get anywhere. So why not work together and through that whole process and getting the dialogue, finding out ways that we can be competitive, looking at shortcuts or tactics that we could maybe become more efficient. So it starts right from the initial opportunity to get that new bid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. There's no better place to start than that. Yeah. You mentioned a couple of things that I wanted to circle back to. And then, you know, in regards to how to assess people, and you mentioned like an assessment that you used. What made you choose that particular assessment? Because obviously, you know, some people use DISC, some people use PI or predictive index. There's all kinds of different assessments that people use. What are your thoughts around that? And why did you pick that particular one?
Yeah, I mean, I've been exposed to a number of them, you know, DISC, Culture Index. I think just the one, you know, we, through the scaling up organization, we had an opportunity to get some training. And I decided to go and deep dive into that. And once I understood it more, I just felt as though it provided really good, you know, the three different dimensions. I call it almost like the GPS of understanding somebody coming into the company. You know, people can come into a company, they can talk a good game through interview, they can show a good resume, I mean, all those things can be rehearsed. Whereas if we have an assessment, and it, I say, as long as you're using some assessment, then let's make sure you have that full dimension of that employee, because ultimately you want them to succeed. You want them to add to the culture. You want them to perform well. So if you're spending all that time bringing somebody in, let's just make sure you take those extra steps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, of course, one of the other ways, little windows into people, is during the interview process. Do you have any favorite things to do during the interview process? Any particular questions you'd like to ask? I know my one of my favorites is, like, because one of our core values is humble. And of course, you know, it's important because it's the ability to say, you know, to learn. It's the ability to be open to growth. It's the ability to say, I made a mistake, help me, whatever it is. One of my favorite questions is to ask them, who helped them get to where they are now? It gives me a good window into, you know, how they look and how they approach their growth, how they recognize the help they've received before, and so on and so forth. Are there any favorite questions for you or any favorite tactics that you use during that process?
No, I think the thing I changed when I had my company was making sure that you had a set schedule of questions. I think what I uncovered was that our different branches were asking all different techniques, all different types of questions. There was no type of consistency there. So I introduced some standard questions. I came up with a scoring type system. But I think, you know, one of the questions I really like to ask is, when I approach some of your colleagues that you work with, what are some of the good and bad things they're going to say about you? So I'm not really interested in reaching out to their references, because again, they could carefully choose their references. I'm going to ask them some of the colleagues they worked alongside with and try and get the real scoop on that person and how they work together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, of course, some people will always avoid the references given and will call former employers and try to kind of navigate that way and find people rather than ones selected by the applicant. That being said, I mean, even the ones selected by the applicants have been able to, like, just by asking the right questions and positioning them the right way, been able to kind of gather some insights and some patterns, including like asking someone, okay, well, we're considering this person for this position. How can we best help them be the best they can be? And it's often revealing the answers. Or I may tell people, okay, we all have two sides to the coin. We all have strengths and weaknesses. Before I ask them about what their weaknesses, when I start with that, it makes a huge difference, because then it just opens up people a little bit more and they can give you more insights.
Yeah, no, I mean, I like to get people really comfortable when they come in, you know, talking about, you know, their family, talking about sports, and just get them into that comfort zone. And another technique I'll use is, whether it be at the first or second interview, but I'll try and get them into an environment where they're outside of that interview room, per se. So maybe I'll take them to a coffee shop. Maybe I'll take them to lunch or dinner. Because what I can quickly tell is how comfortable they are in that scenario. I can quickly tell how they treat the restaurant staff.
Yeah, the staff.
So, yeah, just really looking at them from a you know, almost like a slightly more casual environment.
Yeah.
Really to see who they are, truly are as a person.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And it's one of those two I picked up, like, from many different people. And it's just the ability to change the scenery a little bit, go into a different setting. Obviously, more than one person interview them, because it all helps. But anyways, I know we are kind of pushing up to that time. We didn't get to strategy this time, but maybe another time we can get it.
Yeah, no, I'd love to jump back on. So yeah, there's so many things you can jump into. Yeah.
But I did want to ask you, though, is there something that you really wanted to share today that didn't come up in the conversation so far? Like maybe a nugget that you really wanted to share, or something that you wanted the audience to hear today rather than later?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that, you know, I was almost reminded of me within the last few days is be intentional about your life. Be intentional about every single day. You know, we quickly, from the moment we get up in the morning, a lot of us are sucked into our phone. We're sucked into other people's agendas. We're sucked into what other people want us to do. Whereas, you know, I'm a big believer in, okay, what's my plan? I'm constantly looking at my own personal strategic plan and my vision board every single year. And what are some of the things I could be knocking off my list every single day to be intentional about my life, where I want to take it? And I feel as though a lot of people get pulled in all different directions and end up spinning their wheels.
Yeah, I totally agree. Great advice. Because, I mean, it's like a ship without a rudder. When you just jump in and you're putting out fires and you're sucked into the vortex or the washing machine. So it's definitely worth it to devote that time. I mean, I like the weekly planning. I like the daily planning. I like to dedicate that time to actually be intentional about, you know, what are my priorities? And what is, if I didn't do anything today but one thing, what could that one thing be?
Yeah. I'm always reflecting back on my day, and you know, I'll set some goals at the beginning of the day, and then I'll, at the end of the day, I'll look back and how many did I, you know, achieve?
Absolutely. Totally. Great. Awesome advice. So, Robert, how can people follow you, stay in touch with you? And of course, we're going to publish all your links, you know, in writing as well.
Cool. No, appreciate that. So people can get in touch with me through LinkedIn. So Robert Klinkenbeard on LinkedIn. I have my website where through the coaching is the Radix Group. So R-A-D-I-X, so the Radix Group. And then my podcast is the Commercial Landscapers podcast. So yeah, I appreciate the opportunity, Rashid.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure, Robert. So this concludes this week's episode. Thanks for stopping by, listeners. Be on the lookout for future ones and feel free to check out any of the previous ones on our blog at sbchecks.com/blog. And you can find them at any of your favorite listening apps for podcasts. Thank you. Be well and be kind.